Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the table. We are glad that you're here with us. We are continuing our look into the women of the Bible, and we're going to continue. We talked about Leah last time, so we're just going to continue in that succession, and we're going to talk about Rachel. So Rachel's the second born, so she's Leah's little sister, and she's the one that Jacob worked 7 years for. And then, you know, as we all know, Jacob was then deceived by their father and was provided with Leah instead of Rachel. And then he worked another 7 years for Rachel, even though he was able to marry her and then just worked the 7 years.
Yep.
One thing that I thought I forgot, and I didn't mention last time, but it was, you know, Jacob was the deceiver with his brother, you know, with all of his inheritance, and now he's becoming the deceived, you know. So it's like a, you know, God knew what you were doing. And, you know, even though, again, I don't think he orchestrates these kind of things, but you know what? Sometimes stuff just kind of runs in the family.
It's definitely a full circle, or comes full circle moment, right? Like you deceived to get the blessing, and then you get deceived by dad to get two wives.
Yep.
So. So Rachel must have been pretty easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Jacob fell for her pretty quickly. But, you know, I also find it very interesting that it, you know, when he met her, she was bringing the sheep up. So she was a shepherdess. You don't hear about shepherdess. It's, you know, it's always the boys. It's the younger boys who took care of the sheep. So it was kind of like she had to be in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Jacob giving her sheep the water, just like Isaac's servant, you know. So as you had his mom, you had Rebecca giving all Abraham's camels all the water. So he's then doing the same thing, kind of just in reverse.
You know, he kind of had to think of that maybe at the time, like the connection. So, but then it says Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. So, I mean, he wasn't sly on the thing at all. He was very upfront. I like you.
Yep. You're my fave.
You're my pick, yeah.
I haven't met your sister yet, but I can already tell. This is going to work.
I think it's interesting that, you know, just the two depiction of the sisters, you know, one was she didn't have she had the soft eyes, and the other one was a full face of beauty, I think is what it says in the one verse, at least in my version. A beautiful figure and a lovely face is what it says. And all it talks about is Leah's eyes, you know. So going back to like what we talked about in the Leah cast, now talking about Rachel, like there's a slightly more descriptive moment on her. It is because she's a little younger, probably, and maybe, you know, but I think that's interesting. I don't know. I just think it's interesting, the difference between the two sisters. And again, we don't know, you know, what their age difference was, and we can suppose a lot of things, but obviously Jacob was smitten with lust over her, I think, so.
Yeah, mine says she was shapely and beautiful.
There you go.
But yeah, he definitely was a looks man. He went off the way everybody looked, and you know, no personality here. Let's just, this works.
Yep. I was trying to look up like a different version of that, because I just think it's always interesting when you see different descriptions of different versions of it. But mm-hmm. A lot of them are shapely or beautiful, or
what does the message say?
Oh, there we go. Let me look that one up.
I'm like, that one might be fun, because you have the NLT, I have the Christian Standard.
Let me go to message here.
Well, actually, what's the verse?
It is verse. It's chapter 29.
17.
Yeah, 17.
Oh, okay.
So the message. It doesn't mention her figure at all. It says Leah was the older, Rachel the younger. Leah had nice eyes, but Rachel was stunningly beautiful.
Well, very descriptive words still.
I mean, stunningly beautiful. Yep.
Mine's the ESV, and it says, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance.
Oh, okay. There you go. Form and appearance. There you go.
And Leah's eyes were weak.
Yeah, so that's funny that the message says nice eyes.
Yeah.
The NLT says sparkly.
Mine said tender.
Had no sparkle. Sorry. Yeah. And then, yeah, and yours says tender. And, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Passion Translation says Rachel had a lovely figure and was gorgeous, but Leah's eyes were weak. So
poor Leah.
I know.
She could have been rocking, but her eyes are just ruining it for her.
Where was the eye doctor when she needed him?
My goodness sakes. So, again, this brings us back to the same question. Where was Rachel during, I guess, same question, different aspect, like, or perspective. Where was Rachel during the wedding festivities
mm-hmm.
and, you know, at night? Like, was she... Yeah. Did she play a part in this? Was she aware and she just couldn't voice it? It's her dad, and again, he doesn't seem like the best person.
Or was she sequestered off to a different location so she couldn't interfere?
Yeah, was she sent away to go and tend to the sheep because she thought our wedding was next week? You know?
I had that on my calendar for next Friday. Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder what did the girls know and what didn't they? Specifically, like, Rachel had to know that he was more interested in her
yeah.
than sister. But did she understand, I mean, or was she forced into an understanding of, yeah. sorry, sister goes first, so you gotta wait. Deal with it. Sit and watch, or you can go away. Or, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's...
yeah. Because it's not like he would have said, sit here and be happy for your sister, because then Jacob would have been like, excuse me, why is she over there?
Yeah.
And it could be the father was like, well, I have to marry off Leah first, so just hang tight.
Yeah, your time will come. We'll find somebody else.
But maybe he deceived her too, and maybe it was like, hey, you need to go take the sheep way out here. Don't come back until
yeah
you're gonna go take a long walk with the sheep and we'll see you in 7 years. No.
Well, and then after, so you know what, it comes to full circle, that full light, I guess I should say, that Leah was the one that he consummated the marriage with instead of his intended. But it doesn't ever talk about Jacob and Leah's wedding.
Yeah.
It's just like it was just a...
very quiet.
Like they went to the courthouse and had yeah. it done instead of having all the festivities. Like, it's almost like she got left out on that, because the father's probably like, I'm not paying for two of these. Like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're marrying the same man.
The one gets the 7 days of celebration, even though, you know, the six must have been a little bit stressful.
And how might that have looked, too? Like,
mm-hmm.
he would have had to explain himself, likely, too. Like, oh, this is why that's why he's also marrying Rachel, because technically. contract we had was she, or the agreement that we had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I say get things in writing. You need to have, you know, get it in writing. Put your signature on that.
Go get that stone tablet and let's fill it out.
So you kind of feel like her wedding, her obviously neither of these sisters' marriages started out in the way that they should have. And in the way, in a way they probably dreamed of it starting.
Yeah.
Well, because there was a lack of truth and honesty to the point of, obviously the very first wedding was full of deceit. And then as soon as that happened, there's no chance at any, you know, I mean, I guess it is true because next time there's no other choice. There's just Rachel.
Yeah.
So we're not going to sneak in, you know, younger sister number three.
Did he like, in there under the veil? Like, let's just make
sure. Like, you wonder, did Jacob go? Who is this? Is that Zilpah? Wait, what was one of the servants' names? Zilpah or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that Zilpah? Just making sure.
I was really sure. You didn't have another sister hiding around here, right? Like,
yeah. And, you know, it says that the first 7 years went by quickly for Jacob because he was, you know, very excited to marry Rachel. I wonder how the last 7 years went.
Well, between having to work again for the same woman and then you have both wives
bickering
clearly at each other's throat. He's being torn from room to room in a child war.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would have to say his life probably was not very quiet. After his weddings.
No.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, no.
No more peace for that guy.
Nope. He regardless of him being the man of that house, he was not the man of that house.
No. No. I mean, he didn't really have any say of who or which tent he was going to stay in.
I was going to say, he got a say, but it was given to him in schedule form.
Yeah.
Here's your spreadsheet. I mean, it is that's something that you see played through. So that's what Abraham did. Sarah said, here's Hagar. And he's like, okay, you know, and
again, culturally just what it was like, it's not, obviously it's hard for us to associate to that. Cause it just seems, so that's why we joke about like the sisters' wives things. Yeah. Cause we just can't picture, having multiple wives in the same, built room, tent, building, whatever you want to call, or neighborhood, you know, whatever that is, because it's just doesn't match with what we know about life, right?
Yeah.
But for them, it was exactly what they knew, because before God, it was just the I don't know if it's lawlessness or just the way things worked, right?
Yeah.
And so they just simply it was norm to them. It was the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes why we struggle and we want to suppose things, like, cause I'm so guilty of it. Cause I want to know, I want to be like, wait, why did they do this? And why didn't they do that? And how did they let that happen? And cause they're all strong women. They have to be to live in that time period and to take care of all of the things in the village per se that they have, but why weren't they strong enough to talk back, or could they not? Was it that fearful to back, you know what I mean? Or was it just so culturally okay to just not worry in that way, to like talk back? And so those are the things that I always I want to know, but I also go, okay, Lord, but this was all part of your plan to get us to Joseph, to Jesus, to you know, I mean, all the steps to get us to that Savior. So yeah.
And it seems like they had more power once they became married, you know, than what they do under their father's
home completely house. Yeah.
And you know, it's and it just kind of goes to show, when we don't follow God's plan, you know, his ultimate rose that he has for the man, the wife, you know, the children, when that's not followed, how everything just falls apart, and how emotions come in, and you have the jealousy, you have the bitterness, you have just the tension.
Very much.
I just don't, You know, it's had to be special. I think I'd probably be in this. I'd probably be just as snippy. And I don't know if I'd handle it any better than they do. I don't share well.
No.
You know.
And I don't think we're supposed to, you know, in that aspect. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, it was one woman, you know, and one man. And it's as the world became more evil and more, and you know, they wasn't following God's plan. They were following the Canaanites, the, you know, the people that was around them. They were taking on their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made it a very stressful marriage and living arrangements.
Yep. Yep, very much.
But then again, that also shows how God can take, you know, take something bad and make it for good. Because it all plays out the way it's supposed to.
Yep.
Amen.
And then, so we continue on with her when, you know, when you enter into the child wars, I have this many, and I don't have any. And then you have, you know, so she gives her servants, and, you know, Rachel then does, like I said before, like Rachel provides an heir to Jacob through her servant, which, again, culturally, that was what she was obligated to do.
Totally the norm, yeah.
You know, which is sad, but... You know, so that's what she was supposed to do. Like, she's like, okay, if I can't have one, then I need to provide a way that he can still have. Even though I know he had heirs, but as a, you know, still as a wife, like, she wanted to be able to be, to provide that too.
Yeah.
It's about keeping the lineage going no matter what.
Right.
And that was a woman's ultimate job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what she was raised to do, was to make an heir.
Yeah.
But I like your name for that, the child wars.
Yeah, child wars. But, you know, we had talked about, you kind of touched on it the last time about, like, the mandrakes, about how she traded time with Jacob for the mandrakes. And it's partly because, you see it because Leah's like, you're going to take my... basically like the spoils of me being a mom, and you've already taken my husband already loves you more than he loves me, and then now you're trying to take my son's affections from me too. But mandrakes were thought to be something used to help with fertility, so it wasn't just like a, well, I want your son to give me those flowers. It was a, I want to take that, boil it up, put it in the tea, or do it however they did it. Yeah. So that way, just to kind of further my chances to hopefully be able to provide an heir.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of goes back after Leah and Rachel had their agreement that Leah was going to hand over the mandrakes. Then she goes up to Jacob and she's like, yeah, you're with me tonight.
Yeah, you're mine.
I bought you for tonight. He's like, okay.
Here we go again.
Yeah, but I think at that point, Rachel was looking ahead to say, it doesn't matter that she gets him tonight, because if I eventually have this child, because he already loves me.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Right?
She knows what's going to happen if she provides... that.
She actually does have a baby herself, not just her servant, but herself.
She has her fifth child after that, yeah.
Yep.
Find the verse now, because now... I found it interesting. So if we're going in you're in chapter 30 in Genesis still, you know, and you're in verses 1 and 2. So, and it says, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she envied her sister. Give me sons or I will die, she said to Jacob. And Jacob became angry with Rachel and said, am I in God's place who has withheld offspring from you? Mm-hmm. So let's think about, let's go back to his dad, right? When Rebecca wasn't conceiving, Isaac went to God on Rebecca's behalf. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, God, you know, we're in a situation here. We're not, she's not conceiving and this is hard. Can we work on this? You know, God, he went to God.
Yep.
But Jacob's like, not my fault. I'm not God. Like, what do you want me to do about it?
He's too busy to him.
Yeah, well, to be fair. he's tuckered out.
Well, and because there's a proven track record that it's not him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is getting pregnant. But
well, back then, it would have never been his fault, regardless if he got anybody else pregnant.
Very, very true. But I think that's also where his ego took over and said, well, like, I'm not God. What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, And that's his ego saying, because look, I'm not the problem, kids. It's you, you know.
Yeah.
So
it just kind of shows that his relationship with God isn't what his father's and his grandfather's was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Abraham had a very close relationship with God. Isaac's wasn't, it doesn't seem to be as close as Abraham's was, but it was still, he knew who God was and he respected and revered and, you know, he prayed, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, and I mean, and Isaac loved Rebecca, and just as Jacob loved Rachel. So it was kind of telling of his character, how he would
especially
react
at this
to that
point in life. Because the other part of it is, again, like, we don't know the age of the ladies. We don't technically know Jacob's age either. Right.
Right.
At this, mm-hmm. this part. And it's not until obviously later in Genesis where he starts to try to make amends with his brother and mm-hmm. he's wrestling with God. And, you know, I mean, all of these things. And that's where his true faith comes to light,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That this is why God has blessed you.
Yeah.
But the damage is being done now by that statement, right?
Yeah.
Like to his wife, to the woman he loves and he worked 100 million years for. And like, you know, like
yep.
all of these things. And he's like, what am I going to do about it? Come on, I'm okay. And it's where we so easily lose the facts in our life with what faith should be, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
well, here's the fact. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, so I think that's really interesting because we always call Jacob this great man of faith, but we forget that like a David, there's a few Psalms in there where you're like, David, are you really talking about yourself here? Because I don't think you know who you are.
Right.
Like
yeah.
in different parts, but yeah, so I think I agree. I think it's really interesting how he's forgotten already who he is for just a moment. And then mm-hmm. it'll eventually come back. And that's what God does in our lives is that he can, when we're not paying attention and we're making it about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
eventually we're going to see that, right? Like even with our hard heads and our free will and all of those things. So.
Yeah. You know, so after the mandrakes and everything, then whether or not that's the reason.
Well, Leah had, you know, well, she got her time with Jacob because she bought mm-hmm. him. Then she had her fifth son. And then it says she had her sixth son. And then she had a daughter before Rachel
had Joseph.
It says then God remembered Rachel.
Yeah.
So I don't think the mandrakes helped.
No, guess not. But
they take a few years to take root inside too. And I'm just kidding.
So you have two here again. In contrast, Leah thanked God after all like the first three sons. And she was like, now he's blessed me. You know, yes. Okay. Her focus is always now Jacob will love me because I'm providing to him what he desires the most or what's needed.
Uh-huh.
But yet she's yep. still recognizing God's authority.
Mm-hmm.
So did God not, I mean, with quotation marks, did God forget Rachel because she didn't have as close of a relationship with him? Like, was she not,
she had to get to a certain point.
Yeah, was she not communicating with him? Was she not reaching out to him just kind of, you know, to explain her affliction. And so she was just dealing with it on her own and leaning on her own understanding, providing her servant to her husband. Like she was going through the motions, but it's almost like it's just almost like God, not that he forgot her, he was just waiting for her to reach out.
Yeah.
You know, later down the line, Jacob's love for Rachel also goes to Rachel's children. He loved those sons more than all the others, which also caused jealousy and strife and deceit.
Mm-hmm. And deceit seems to be prevalent within this family, because even now, you know, he's worked his 14 years for his wives, right? He's worked extra even, but yet due to the law, their dad Laban still technically can claim possession over the daughters and their kids, even though Jacob helped make all of those kids.
Yeah.
But the father still had the claim on it. So, but instead of dealing with it, you know, confronting him or anything, Jacob deceives in a way and leaves in the middle of the night. You know, they just kind of pack up, only take what's his. But they still pack everybody up and they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a little bit of the ego part of Jacob again.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, I'm going to get out of here while I still got all my goods.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, so Jacob had reason, obviously, to deceive, right? Like he saw from the very beginning how he was already going to be treated, you know, with the marriage being deceived with Leah, you know, and then however many, like, and he listed out in 31, you know, in chapter 31, he talks about, this is all the things that your dad has done to me.
Yeah.
This is how God has blessed it. Like, if he said, I can only have these kind, that was all the sheep that were had, you know? And so Jacob never did anything wrong. It was almost second deceit kind of wiped out his first one and he was blessed again.
Yeah, I think it's again that Jacob has a little bit of a, is hubris the right word, but a like, yeah, you know what, he did this to me, so I'm taking off right now.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing both wives, even though I really only want Rachel, but I got lots of kids and we're out.
Right.
Because it's more important that I get to go be myself and my own person now, because I have lived under him for so long.
And he wanted to go back home. He wanted to take, and it's like only after Joseph was born does he like, oh, I actually want to go back home now. You know, I want to show him off.
It's the star child and the star wife and it's almost like the completion thing, right? Like I've gotten exactly what Rachel and I've always wanted, which is a marriage and a life and a baby together, maybe. You know what I mean? In that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm going home. I did my job. I did my work. You made a lot of money off of me. You got lots of cattle and cows and goats and all, you know. I mean, you got everything you need.
Yep. Nobody so died underneath me.
Yep.
Yeah. And
I wonder what Rachel's thinking during that whole time too.
Yep.
You know, and Leah, but definitely Rachel. What's she doing? Is she like, or is she excited to leave? I don't know.
I wonder if they know. They know their father. They know the stuff that he's done, and they probably, to be honest, I would think that they would want to be out from underneath his thumb. You know, life would probably be a little more peaceful because you wouldn't have your dad. That kind of dad just being all up in your business and dictating your life. and even your husband's life. Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why she took the household idols was it was like she knew they're not getting an inheritance because they're women. You know, it doesn't go to them. So she's like, you know what? For everything that you've put me through, I'm taking these.
Payback.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been, I mean, it's speculated. It could be because she just felt like that she could take a little bit of home with her, you know, wherever they would go. But it's also speculated like this is owed. Like, you owe me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So she feels entitled to it because she put up with everything her dad did.
Yeah.
And I like how she hid it when he came and was searching for it. Yeah. You know. Let's see. But, you know, she dropped back to the... All of us as girls has probably used that excuse one time or another. Especially with the men in our family, because they want nothing to do with that time of the month.
Yeah, it's chapter 31, verse 35, where she said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord. I cannot stand up in your presence as I am having my period." So Laban searched but could not find the household idols.
He's like, "Oh, okay. Can't touch that.
I'm not going through her stuff, right?" Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, technically, I mean, she's unclean at that moment. They would have been, probably if they weren't traveling, they would have been in the tent.
Yeah.
But still, and then you have him where he goes and he's meeting Esau, and you have it's extremely telling how he, you know, places his kids, you know, and their mothers in regards to who's going to get to who, like give them the better chance to get away if Esau was upset.
Yeah. He put Rachel and the kids in the very back.
Yep.
They had the best chance.
Yeah, he put the two servants and their kids in the front, and then Leah, and then and then Rachel. So even again, you know what we can learn, you know, I mean, we learned with Leah that how God redeemed her and he saw her, and you know, with Rachel, you see that God still remembered her. He might not have put his lineage in, like, through her line, which sometimes does surprise me because it was Joseph, right? Like, you have Joseph. Uh-huh. So why didn't we continue on with Joseph? Why wasn't it Joseph's line instead of, you know, and it being David's instead? But I'm sure we could probably do a massive deep dive into genealogy and likely Joseph's time in Egypt maybe kind of hindered that, because it would have, the bloodline wouldn't have been as pure.
Yeah.
You know, for that, and feel free to interrupt and say I'm wrong on that, because I didn't do enough research on that, because it didn't hit me until just this moment that could be quite why. But, you know, but again, God used her child to then take care of the rest of the family to preserve the line of David, right?
Yep.
So that way it could still occur.
It makes me want to jump ahead and start talking about Joseph's story. But anyway, because that's my favorite story. But anyway.
It's a great story. And we'll touch on it with the next woman of the Bible a little bit, too.
Well, and I think it's interesting if we're really talking about Rachel, like, you know, at the end of her days, what is it, the blessing? Hold on, I looked this up. Let me see if I can find it. Talk amongst yourselves. No, I'm just kidding. Doesn't it say how old she was or something like that?
Mine does not.
Maybe not.
No, just that she died giving birth to Ben.
That's right, yeah. But it does make me wonder, like, obviously since there was a gap between Joseph and Benjamin, you know, how old she was when she died in childbirth. all those kinds of things. So, I don't know. I read something about that there was a blessing given, but I can't find it now. So maybe it was something else I was researching too today. So.
Now it just says that Jacob had set up a marker on her grave, and it's the marker of Rachel's grave still.
Yeah.
I do like that he changed the name of Benjamin. Like, he's like, no, ma'am, I respect you, and so we'll kind of keep it the same, but we're not naming him that. Like, he doesn't need to have that literal name upon him.
Yep. Yeah, and think about Benjamin, son of my right hand. I mean that mm-hmm. makes more sense to what his journey is then too. So,
yeah. All right. Well, that was just a little insight on Rachel from the Bible. So again, we are so glad that you're here. We would love to hear from you and connect with you. So if you have any questions, anything, comments, something you found interesting, something you want to elaborate on, you know, let us know. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, send us messages. That, you know, that's what we do. We want to hear from you. But other than that, we will see you next time.